Okay, the Gemara before was discussing Sheva Brachos, the seven Brachos that we say at a wedding, and the Gemara was explaining each one, and we finished with the Sheva Brachos. So now the Gemara says like this, Ravashi ikloi lebei Rav Kahana. Okay, Ravashi happened to be at the home of Rav Kahana for a wedding. It was Rav Kahana's son and daughter got married, so he went there. So Yom Kami Baruch Kula. The first day, he said all the Sheva Brachas, all the seven Brachas that we say. Mikam Ve'elach. Afterwards, the other days, Iik upon him Chadoshes. If there was a new face, like we learned before in the Gemara, Baruch Kula, he would say all the Brachas, all seven Brachas. V'ilai, and he says, if not, Afushe Simcha Ba'alma. It's only an extension of the previous joy because there's no new face to create a new simcha. Mevarech shan simcha b'ma'enei, he only did in the Birchat HaMazon, he said, shan simcha b'ma'enei shachal nimishalei, and he said the last bracha shebara. Okay, now this is the halach. We learned before in the Gemara that if a chosin and kala get married, and one of them at least was never married before, okay, if either one of them was not married before, you have sheva brachas for 7 days. Okay? So the wedding Sunday night, so you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, it's 7 days of Sheva Brachas. But when can you make, so what do? You have a meal of 10 people, and then you bench over a cup of wine, and then after benching, you say the 6 brachas, and then the one that said the led the benching does break your goffin, and he drinks the wine, and you mix the 2 cups of wine together, and you give the chosin and the kala. Okay, that's the halacha. So, you don't have to. The only mandatory Sheva Brachas is the one which is done at the time of the wedding, under the chuppah, and the meal after the chuppah. Those are the mandatory ones. So the Gemara says a story. Rav Ashi came to Rav Kahana's house, there was a wedding. And what he did was, the first day, regardless of a new face or not, he said the bracha, because it was the wedding. The other days, if there was a new face, the din is, then you can make Sheva Brachas, all 7 brachas. If not, you say, let's say you have a minion, but you don't have a new face. Everybody was there already. So you say, Shasimcha b'ma'ene shachan mishalei, that the joy in his, the simcha is in his dwelling. And you do the last bracha, ashebara sasim b'simcha. That you could do with, even without a new face. That's the halacha.
When you do the last bracha?
After benching. Oh. You do ashebara, and then you do a b'ri p'yagof, and that's it. Mishiva v'atshleishim. Okay, this is not what we do today, but what happens after the 7 days to 30 days after the wedding? Whether the guests came because of the wedding festivities, whether they didn't come, they weren't told it was because of the wedding festivities, you could do simcha b'ma'enei. In benching, you could do add the phrase sha simcha b'ma'enei. In his dwelling place. Okay? Sha simcha, that simcha is b'ma'ona in God's dwelling place.
Oh, in God's
dwelling. Mikan ve'elach, after 30 days, i'armelo machmasilula, if the guests are still coming because of the festivities of the wedding, then you say sha simcha b'ma'ona. Be loy, and if you didn't tell the guests that that's why they're here, they thought they're coming just for a free meal, loy, then you can't do it. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. For 7 days, if you have a new face, you could do Sheva Brachas. After the 7 days, if people are coming because of the wedding festivities, you can add in the introduction to benching, you can say Simcha B'ma'enei, that the joy is in God's dwelling. Yeah? What happens if they didn't come for the wedding, they just came for whatever, then you don't say it. Okay? After Shleishim, after 30 days, if they came because of the wedding, you could do it simcha b'ma'enei. You could do it as long as you want. We don't do that today.
I know. How did it work, though? I mean, the simcha was continuing going.
Yeah, people like to party.
No.
You, as a Persian, you shouldn't ask me that question. Persians find every excuse to party.
True, but I mean, how did it work?
Well, Sigmar says, if they're coming for the wedding festivity, Adamus, until what? 10 years, 20 years? I mean, how long does it go? So the Gemara answers, No, no, no.
Omer
Apopi Mishmei Drava Atrei Siyar Chishata. Until?
13 years?
12, no. 12 months. Listen, there is a din. There is a din that when a boy and girl get married, for the first year, doesn't go to the army, doesn't go to war. Okay.
That's Midoraita.
Yeah, because the simcha is for a year. Okay? V'sima chasishti. The Torah says clearly, when you get married, you have to make your wife happy for a year. Afterwards, no. But for the first year, there's a biblical mitzvah, you have to make your wife happy, yeah? So this opinion holds, anytime you have a party, and it's connected to the wedding, you're telling people this is still festivities of the wedding, you could say the bracha shasimcha b'ma'enei. Not the bracha, in the bench, you know, shasimcha b'ma'enei. If they're not coming for the wedding, up to 30 days you could do it anyway, because 30 days is still considered the wedding atmosphere. And after 30 days, not.
What do you mean by not coming to the wedding? What does that mean? Not coming to the...
No, if they're coming to the meal, because they're still part of the continuation of the wedding.
That's a 6 months.
How is that possible?
Free meal.
Are they coming to eat, just to eat?
Yeah. What?
Just for Kiddush.
What? I don't know.
So 6 months later, you invite somebody for Shabbos and you say, this is because of my wedding.
Right.
Then you say this?
No, we don't. Today we don't do this. I'm saying what the Gemara says.
You know the Baruch HaLevatollah.
Yeah, but we don't do it. We don't do it, Lepre. He says, look at why we're just not done today. We'll soon see what this was. But now the Gemara asks like this. Okay, how long can it go on? Up to a year, really, right? But the Gemara says, how much before the wedding can you do it? So the Gemara says, Umikara Amos, how much before the wedding? Okay?
That's because the deep Kedushin.
To say, 1 second. Rav Papa says, listen to this. Mechiramu Sare Basinta. Oh, this is for you and him, you two. When they throw barley into the beer making vat, beer is made by barley. So he says, when they started making the beer for the wedding, that's when the wedding started. Even before the wedding.
That's from Kedushin.
1 minute. Well, we're going to see in a second. Okay? Now, Rashi says clearly, another Rishenim, this is speaking if they already did Kedushin. Because like we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, in the times of the Gemara, they didn't do what we do today, Edison and Nisuyan together. First they did the Kedushin a year before, and then a year later they got married, right? So then really that year was already a preparation for the wedding. So the Gemara asks, when is it really considered preparing for the wedding that you can already start saying, Shasimcha b'ma'inei? So that Papa said, when they throw the barley into the beer, meaning when the preparations for the wedding start seriously. So the Gemara says, "Eini, it's not true." But Rav Papa is asik laba by Merodi. Rav Papa arranged a mass for a shidduch for his son Abba Mar ubaruch mishas Edison, and he already did it from the Edison before they threw the barley into the beer. So you see, he did it earlier. So the Gemara answer is interesting. Shani Rav Papa was different. Rav Papa was an extremely wealthy man, the Gemara says. He had a beer factory, by the way. He was very wealthy. So the Gemara answers, you know why Rav Papa already did it earlier? Because he had so many servants that are going to do the whole preparations for the wedding. So by him, it started already at the beginning, the Simcha. So he did it already from the time his son got engaged, not engaged, the Kedushin, he already started saying Simcha B'mayne, because for him everything was done already. They're already prepared from before. You didn't have to do anything. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Ravina, Yasikle Lebrei Beirav Chaviva. Ravina, the famous Ravina of the Gemara, made a shidduch between his son and the daughter of Rav Chaviva. Okay, they did Kedushin. Ubarich Mishas Edison. And Ravina already said this bracha, Shasimcha B'ma'inai, from the time of the Kedushin. And he said, why? Kimle begavei, I know for sure they're not going to break off this marriage. So the Gemara says, the Shidduch didn't work out and they did break it off.
Even in those days.
Even in those. No, but over there they needed to get.
Well, they did.
Because once you do Kedusha with the ring, she's a full-fledged married woman. So if they break it off, she would need a get.
But they didn't see each other. How did they break it up?
But she decided not to marry him, whatever it was. They reneged on the agreement. And therefore, but up then they would need a get at that time.
It doesn't happen that time.
She didn't want to sign the prenuptial. Yeah. She didn't like the mother-in-law. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Rav Tachlifa lived in Eretz Yisroel. Ikla le Bavel. He went to visit Bavel. Where the Gemara was, yeah? And they invited him with Sheva Brachas. To say the Sheva Brachas. So, Brich Shis Arichta. He made 6 long blessings. What does that mean? That means he made each of the Brachas longer and ended with Baruch Atah, beginning Baruch Atah. In other words, we made them all into long Brachas. But the Gemara says, the last Hilchos HaKavosi, the Halacha is not like him. You know, we don't fit, like we said, Shako Baruch Vayde, we don't say Baruch Atah Hashem. You know, whatever the text is in the Siddur, he wanted to change that text. Rav Chaviva, Ikla Lebei Mehula. He came to a bris. And he said, Shasimcha B'ma'inai. What we said at a wedding, he said it because it's a simcha. It's a big, you know, bris milah is a big simcha. But the Gemara says, Las Hilchos HaKavosi. The Halacha is not like him. Why? Mishum detride, because people are distracted from the real simcha, the isli tzadeli yunuka, because the baby cries. Okay?
That's why you don't say Sheikh Yad.
Oh, this is what I'm going to tell you now. It's interesting, because based on this, the Gemara, the Rishonim discuss, should you say it at a Pidyon HaBen? The Pidyon HaBen is also a very big simcha.
But what's the pain?
Oh, that's why. The Gemara says by a bris, you don't say simcha b'ma'inai because the baby is in pain. But a Pidyon HaBen where there's no pain. So some people, Rishonim, say you do, some but Leperl today, we don't.
I'm saying, he said the Baruch HaLevatola.
Why Baruch HaLevatola?
Shechiyonu?
Well, first of all, what? By a bris? We're talking about Simcha B'ma'ayne, we don't say it, opinion of Ben. Yeah, but it's... this is a very big controversial issue between the Sephardic community and the Ashkenazi community. The Sephardim, based on the Rambam rules, you make a Shechiyonu or a bris milah. Because Shechiyonu, it's a mitzvah. Right, you do a mitzvah once a year, right? So you do every year. You have a kid; it's a bris. So you have every year you have a shechion, and Ashkenazi should shein him. Like the Rashi, those people write, and the Rama writes that we don't make so Ashkenazim don't make shechion or a brit milah because the kid's in pain. Because the kid's in pain, so therefore you don't. So this is the different. But Pinyin HaBen, there's no pain. You're just redeeming the kid for five silver dollars. So over there, you say a Shechiyonu.
How about the other places? Like wearing a leather garment or Shechita the first time?
Oh, so it says, in the other day, it says that a Shechit doesn't make a Shechiyonu the first time he Shechts. Even though it's a mitzvah, he makes a brach. You know, Shechit, when he starts Shechting, every day, whenever he shechts, it's a mitzvah to shecht. So if he's shechting, he makes a bracha. But he doesn't say shechionu because there's pain to the animal. And that's why when you, even if you make shechionu new garments, but on shoes, you don't make a shechionu. So one of the reasons it says, why don't you make shechionu on shoes? Because leather came from an animal. In fact, there's a big question in Halacha. I mean, Arminig is not to. But on Tefillin, the first time a kid puts on Tefillin, does he make Shechionu? In certain places they do. Most people say you don't. Again, for the same reason.
Because he wore before?
Oh. No, the first time before Bar Mitzvah you should make Shechiyah.
Yeah, that's better, wow. What about
him? A talus up you're supposed to make Shechiyah. Chosn.
You're
wearing a talus now. You should make, I mean,
so
yeah.
But we don't. You don't say
Shechiyah because of that? No, we don't. But we don't make on clothing today because we buy them very often. But a guy, a talus, you buy every whatever. It's, again, whatever.
But for a wedding, you do, not for...
Some do, some don't.
I never saw.
When did you see a chosn put on a talus?
I don't.
Okay, so how do you know?
Sephardim do it.
Sephardim do
it. Sephardim.
And the one that they put
but
on...
Sephardim, not, no, yeah, they wear a talus before the wedding also.
I know, but they put a new one during...
Yeah, so they put a new one. In fact, they put it on the yichud. By them, by the Sfardim, they don't have the yichud room.
They don't?
No. They have yichud under the chuppah. They wrap the chosin kal in the same talus. That's the yichud for Sfardim. In Ashkenazeship, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. We don't go after the wedding. They go into a yichud room, it's called. Yeah, yeah.
But Sfardim have it both ways. They have it...
They don't have yichud room.
What did they do?
No.
That's not a proper yichud. What kind of yichud is that?
It's a yichud that's good for the Sfardim. I don't know.
So when does the woman start covering her hair?
What? What? That's what?
Well, they don't cover her hair until the next day, or they go.
Be halacha after they're together. But some people.
I've never been to a wedding where a woman covers their hair.
Some people have a custom, they put it on right after the chuppah, in the yichud room. You know, by the Hungarians, by the Satmi, you know, they don't wear wigs. They bald their head, literally. They bald their head.
The Satma?
So, yeah. So they don't wear wigs. They bald their head, no? All those Hungarian chassidim do. So what they do, this is what I was told.
In the yichud room, they have a
shaver. In the yichud room, there's somebody come with a shaver, shave the head, and they put on the...
Come on!
That's too late already. They're mad.
That's what I was told they do. It makes sense.
Does the sapphos do that?
No.
What?
There are many women wear a shaver under the chuppah.
Who?
Yeah.
Not under the chuppah. In the yichud
room. Under the chuppah.
Because they don't want to put it on in the yichud room, because they need the mother and the mother-in-law and the aunt, the beauty stylist and the this and that, and 30 mirrors. They wear it by the chuppah because they have menigas to wear it by the yichud room.
So covering the hair is after the consummate or after the...
Halachically, according to most opinions, after you consummate the marriage. Some do it right after they're married. In the yichud room. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav, we said before that in order to do Sheva Brachas, you need a minyan. Right? So now, can the chosn be one of the 10 or not? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav, chsanim min haminyan, the chsanim from the minyan, but ain aveilim min haminyan. By aveilim, they're not. Okay? Now what does this mean, the aveilim are not part of the minyan? The Gemara is going to exactly explain soon what that means. When do you need a minyan? The Gemara is going to talk about that. Meisvei, so the Gemara asks the question, okay, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that chasanim are counted in the 10, but the mourners aren't. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Braise, chasanim v'aveilim min haminyan. A chosin and an oval is counted in the minyan. How could Rav say that the aveilim are not counted in the minyan when the Braise clearly says that aveilim are counted in the minyan? So the Gemara says like this, Masnita koram is aleo the Rav. You ask a question on Rav from a Braise? Rav Tano Apollo, Rav can argue on a Braise. It's one of the few places in Shas that the Gemara says Rav was a Tana.
What's Tana?
Tana means a person from the Mishnah. Mm. In other words, like this. In Jewish history, when eras ended, the new era cannot argue on the old era. Okay? At the time when the Mishnah was compiled, Rabbi Yudan Nossi ended the era of the Tanoim, guys from the Gemara who are called Amiroyim cannot argue on a Braisa or a Mishnah. People from that era could argue on each other. Even a later person and an earlier person could argue. Okay? Because they're both from the same era. After, now normally Rav is normally looked at as an Amira of the Gemara. He was the first generation of the Gemara. Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Yechanan, Levi, all the students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. But once in a while, the Gemara says that Rav was a Tana, and he could argue on a Braisa. And therefore, this Braisa that the Gemara brings down over here, that Rav said that Avelim are not counted in the Minyan, and the Braisa says they are, so the Gemara says you can't ask a question on Rav. Rav argues on the Braisa.
I thought Braitas are less of an important
thing. It's all in the same era. It's just that there weren't.
No, it's not a less than a Mishnah. Which one is stronger?
Mishnah.
So.
And Amir can't argue on a Braisa, though.
I know, but if a Tana brings a Mishnah, it's stronger than a
Braisa. But this is not a Mishnah, this is a Braisa. That says Avelim are also from the Minyan. Mm-hmm. It's not a Mishnah, it's only a Braisa. They're not as powerful. But Rabbi Rav can argue on a Mishnah too. If he's a Tana, he can argue on a Mishnah too. He brings out the bottom interesting. Rav Haigoin quotes Rav's, what was Rav's real name? His name was Abba. In fact, a lot of times in Shmuel, when he's arguing against Abba, and there's a dialogue between Rav and Shmuel, says to him, Abba, what are you talking about? So most of the Shanim explained his real name was, he was Rav. He was called Rav. But his name wasn't Rav. His name was Rabab. And that's what Shmuel, who was his buddy, you know, they're friends, he called him Abba. Some people say, interesting, some people I saw, some people say, why did Shmuel call him Abba? Because he was like the father of the generation. But most of the Shanim say that, in fact, Rav Haigoin says it also, that Rav's real name was Rababa. And Rav Haigoin, he brings out the bottom here, lists three places in which Rav is actually mentioned in the Braisa. He's called Reb Abba after his given name. His parents called him Abba. Abba? Abba, whatever. Nobody calls somebody Abaya today, or Rava, or Apapa, or Rav Chista, or Rav Nachman. It's funny, the names of the Gemara didn't catch on to the...
And they didn't name anybody after the Avos either.
Rav Yitzchok you have a lot of times, Rav Yaakov. You don't have Rav Avram too much in the Gemara.
Back, hey.
Or Rav Moshe, or Rav Aaron.
Yeah, you don't have Tanoim and Amira, interesting with those names. Yeah, Rabbi Yaakov, not the lot also. But it's interesting, he's right. Where do you find Moshe and Aaron as names of Tanoim and Amiraim? And what's interesting, Rabbi Yishmol, Kohen Gadol, his name was Yishmol.
Yeah.
His name is Yishmol. Rabbi Yishmol is a Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Kiva's friend.
And now we never named the kids.
No. No. Kohen Gadol.
So why did he name Shmuel? Because he's Bichuva.
I didn't ask his mother when she... I wasn't there. Why? She named the kid Yishmael.
Maybe had a bris.
I don't know.
With the women also.
What?
You never see any women in the Gemara called, I don't know, Sarah. And
very few.
Yeah. No, Sarah is a Bruria or
Bruria, but yeah, Rav Kiva's wife was Rachel. Okay, whatever. I know. Itmar. But it's interesting, the names of the Gemara didn't stick. Like Rav Chista, Rav Papa, Abaya, Rava, Rabba. I mean, you don't have these
names today.
Yeah.
Well, we do it more like Tanakh.
Now they do the Ivrit, the Hebrew, modern Hebrew names.
Yeah, I mean, that's beside the point.
And Nebuch. You can't name a kid normal names. Okay. Itmar. Now the Gemara is going to explain what it just said. It said that chsanim are part of the minyan, but not the avelim. Right? That's what Rav said. So Gemara says, itmar, oh, we said before, Amar Rav Yitzchok, Amar Rav Yechanan, this is not, before Rav Nachman said the name of Rav, but Rav Yitzchok said the name of Rav Nachman also, Amar Rav Yechanan, chsanim min aminyan, vein avelim min aminyan. The same thing like Rav said. So the Gemara is going to ask the same question. Meisvei, chesanim v'aveilim min aminyan. It says, clear in the Braisa, like the Gemara just asked on Rav, the same thing. Rav said the same statement as Rav Yechanan, and they ask a question. But here the Gemara doesn't answer that Rav Yechanan was a Tana.
Kitanya hi?
Kitanya hi, the Gemara answers this. When does the Braisa say that aveilim are not from the minyan? For birchas hamazon in benching, okay, meaning like this. Then the mourner, yeah, this is the braisa says the mourner could be counted in a minyan. I mean a minyan over there doesn't even mean a minyan of ten. When can an oval be counted for a mezumen for three people that do birchas hazimun? Where b'shura. In the ref, in the when they comforted the mourners, okay. Now, what used to go on, again, this is much different customs than we have today. But they explain at the bottom based on the Rishain Rashi and whatever. After the burial in the time of the Gemara, the present would form a row around the mourner, and they seed him, and these people stand around him. This is what they used to do. The custom today we don't do that. Okay, then. The Gemara says that this row has to consist of at least 10 people. Okay? So Rabbi Yochanan says, when you need 10 people for this row of the mourner, to comfort the mourner cannot be one of the 10. Why? Because you need 10 people to comfort him. He can't comfort himself. So Rabbi Yochanan said, this that the Braisa says, you can count an oval for a minyan, means, I mean, you can't. When does Rabbi Yechanan say you can't? Okay? Ki kam Rabbi Yechanan speaking about Bashur. Mean like this. There's two different dinim. The first meal, you know, an oval eats after the funeral, somebody else gives him the food and he eats a bagel with an egg, right? You sit down and wash and have a meal. So the din is to do the zimun of three people. An oval could be one of the three. So when the Braisa says that an oval can be part of the minyan, part of the counting, it means to do zimun after the funeral. This that the Braisa says, the avelim are not... No, I'm sorry. So the Braisa says you can count an oval in the minyan to do Rabbi Yisrael Nevarech. This that Rabbi Yechanan says an oval cannot be counted in a minyan, he's talking about a different case. When they comfort the mourner, the Gemara says, you learn out from a pasuk, you need 10 more comforters. So the oval cannot comfort himself. So you need 10 besides the mourner. Huh? When? Today we don't know.
So this is not just talk.
What?
This is not just talking about Shah Simcha Bim Ono. This is any type of Birkat HaMazon.
Right, right.
So why on Tisha B'Av we don't?
The same reason? No, because the bottom line is, the Zimun is a mitzvah, not nowadays, it's all a different thing today. But in olden times, Zimun was a mitzvah, and therefore an oval is obligated in the mitzvah of Zimun. It was actually a mitzvah of Zimun.
To write in the Zimun is for old? It's not a mitzvah?
Today, no.
So why we...
Because over there, the guy used to bench loud for everybody. So it was a whole different setup. Today, everybody benches themselves.
I know, but everybody so wants it was a different have a Zimun
It was a different level of Zimun.
So why we are insisting so much nowadays to have a Zimun?
Huh?
Why do we insist on having Zimun?
Because it says that three people eating together should do Zimun. But it's not the Zimun of the Gemara.
Oh. So So right now we are doing a zecher lezimun?
Yes. Right. Taisus over here asks a very interesting question. It discusses it, really. But the point over here that's happening, Rav said a statement that the chosin's from the minyan and the oval isn't. Okay, Rabbi Yechon said the exact same statement. And then the Gemara asked a question on both of them from the same place. And the Brais, it says clearly both from the minyan. Right? So what was the answer for Rav? He argues. And the Braisa. Correct? That's what the Gemara answered. Rav Tanu Polik. Rav can argue on the Braisa. When it came to Rabbi Yechanan, when they asked the question, right? So the question is, why doesn't the Gemara answer, or what is the Gemara answer by Rabbi Yechanan? It's two different cases. One is for benching, and one is for the comforters. For the comforters, you need 10, okay? So he's not counted from the minyan. Over there, he's talking about he's counted for benching, right? Why doesn't the Gemara answer the same answer for Rav?
Or to say that he's a Tana.
Well, they can't say he's a Tana because Rabbi Yechon wasn't. Rav was. But Tais has an interesting question, though. Why can't Rabbi Yechon say, I hold like Rav, who's a Tana? When they asked the question from the Brais and Rav, what did the Gemara answer? Rav argues.
So it must be that he doesn't hold by him.
So why can't Rabbi Yechanan answer that Rav is a Tana? I hold like him. So Taisus answers, very interestingly, because they were friends, he didn't hold of Rav as a Tana. So Rabbi Yechanan can't answer, I hold like Rav, who is a Tana, because as far as Rabbi Yechanan is concerned, Rav wasn't a Tana. That's what Taisus says. Look, the Rabbi Yechanan is a machzik Rav ketana. Why? Because Rabbi Yechanan always argues on Rav. If Rabbi Yechanan maintained Rav was a Tana, how could he argue on Rav? And all over Shas, Rabbi Yechanan and Rav argue. Right? So obviously, Rabbi Yechanan didn't think Rav was a Tana. So Rabbi Yechanan can't answer, I hold that Rav who was a Tana, because as far as he's concerned, he's not a Tana. You're the both Tamidim of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The difference is, Rav lived in Bavel, later on in his life, and Rabbi Yechon lived in Eretz Yisrael.
So Rav
is
considered an
Amida,
and
Rabbi Yechon was a Tana? No, Rabbi Yechon is not a Tana.
Also a
Tana. No, Rav could also be a Tana. Taisa says this, we find in the Gemara Nazir, that says Rabbi Yechon was a different Rabbi Yechon. He was a Tana, lived earlier.
Rish Lakish was a Tana also
then? No. No.
Well, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was
a Tana. That's much earlier, sure.
So this Rav Yochanan was the Talmud of
Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi,
and Rish Lakish wasn't?
He was.
Oh, Rish Lakish was also.
Yeah. But they weren't Tanoim, only Rav.
Oh, only Rav, not even Shmuel.
Once in Shas, I think it's a Shmuel Tano Palik.
What makes them a Rav? Even though they were all Talmudim of...
It could be. Why only Rav was Tano Palik and the others not? Because, again, we find Rav Abba, Rav lived a very long time. According to Seder Adairis, which is written by, I believe Rav over there writes lived 300 years.
300 years?
Huh. So Rav was really a Tana from an earlier period, Rav Abba. And as the Taisa says, I mean, like we said, Rav Haigon says that there's three places where Rav is mentioned in the Braisa, but he's called Rav Abba, because that was his name. So maybe that's why Rav was a Tana, because he was much older than them.
But he started at the time of Tanai?
That seems so.
So if he started Rav...
If he's mentioned in the Braisa, he obviously started in the time of Tanai.
So nobody can be the...
Yeah, polygon. But they were colleagues, so as far as they were concerned, he wasn't...
But he wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. He was only mentioned in Baraita.
That's the same era. That would be the same thing. No. Taisa says that it doesn't say anywhere.
Who wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi?
Yeah. But he wrote Talmud...
Talmud Yishen is
he was living in Eretz Yisrael. Well, Talmud Yerushalmi, 100 years before Bavli. Rish Lakish lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rav initially lived in Eretz Yisrael, then he moved to Bavel. Bika Matzvah got the Begeder.
I thought Rish Lakish died before. No, before.
He did die.
Rabbi Yochanan killed Rish Lakish. His brother in law. They were brothers in law.
Yeah, I know. Why did he kill him?
They were arguing and they had. Well, a whole fight went on. Yeah, but no, holy
that
fight.
Wasn't because of Purim. No, that was
something. No, that's Rabbi Yochanan.
Was the Kepeda not to speak before Tachan?
No. That was the Kepeda, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rish Lakish's wife always got Rabbi Yochanan to speak before Tachnun. If you speak between Shemoneh Esrei and Tachnun, your tefillos are not answered. So Rish Lakish's wife always made sure Rabbi Yochanan, her brother, she was a brother and sister. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's wife were brother and sister. Right? So she always made sure that Rabbi Yochanan talked, that his tefillos shouldn't be answered. One time she came in and was late, or she thought it was not going to be, whatever. She came in late, and he already said Tachnun. So she said to him, get up, you already killed my husband.
You mean Rabbi Yochanan Daven that Rish Lakish should die?
You're talking about spiritual people, you're not talking about normal people here.
Then he starts crying because of he didn't have a chavrusa.
Yeah, next time you want to kill somebody, think about it first because you might not have a chavrusa. What?
Where's this going?
What? In Brachas. I mean, the story with Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, in Brachas. Okay. So the Gemara says 1 minute. Ella, Hodam, Rabbi Yitzchok, Kamer, Rabbi Yechanan. This Rabbi Yitzchok said the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Mevorach, and Sibichas, Chassan, and Basodom. It says like this. In order to do Sheva Brachas, you need a minion. But Chassan, and Minam, minion. The Chassan is counted as one of the 10. But the Birchas Avelim Basoda, yet mourners think you need 10, but Ein Avelim in a Minyan. The Avelim cannot be counted in the Minyan. Look, we explained before, because you need 10 people comforting the mourner can't comfort himself. But the Gemara says, Bracha B'Shura Mi'iko. Where do you have Birchas Avelim? If you're telling me it's all about the Shura, the comforting, there's no Bracha by the comforting. So why does the Gemara say Birchas Avelim needs a minion? And you're defining it that you need 10 people besides the mourner to comfort him, but there's no bracha. And the expression is there's a bracha. What type of bracha is it? So he says, you're right. Eloki kama Rabbeich. One does Rabbeich say is din berchava in the street. When they wish condolences in the street. Okay? Meaning like this. After the funeral, this was the custom in the olden days. We don't do this today. When the mourner came back from the funeral, the people brought him a meal in the street, the first meal. And they would recite the bracha for the mourners, who comforts the mourners. The Gemara is going to say later the text of the bracha. And therefore, the Gemara will say that this bracha needed a minyan. And over there, the oval is not, but they actually said a bracha on the street. When they brought the first meal for the mourner in the street, there would be 10 people, and they would give a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, who comforts the mourners, and so on and so on. So he says, that bracha needed 10 people, and the oval cannot be counted in one of the 10, because the oval needs to be comforted. He can't comfort himself. Okay, we'll just start this. Elohadam, Rabbi Yechanan, the Tzadmari says, Rabbi Yitzchak said the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Mevorachin, Birchsuch, San, and Basara. You can have the Broch of the Chosin with 10, all 7 days, and the Chsanim are counted as one of the 10, or Birchas, Avelim, Basara, Kol Shiva, and the mourner's Broch for 7 days is also with 10. So the Gemara says, where do you have a Broch for 7 days? You have a Broch in the street when they bring the first meal. But you don't have a mourner's bracha all 7 days. Okay? So my answer is an interesting thing. if there's a new face to the Shiva house, they would make the bracha every day of the week.
Wow.
Just like for a wedding, for a Shiva bracha, there's new face, because it, the new face reawakened the mourner again. So there's another bracha, you say, to comfort him.
So the reason for the new face for the wedding and for Simcha is because of reawakens happiness.
Yep.
Somebody new comes.
Yep.
But they do compare passing Hilula is like wedding, no?
Hilula is a wedding, but that's because the neshama goes to a higher place. But here we're talking about a practical thing. Where do you have Birchas Avelim? So the Gemara says you do have. And that's normally in the street when they brought back the food for the first time after the funeral, that they would do the bracha. But the Gemara says, so how do you get that 7 days? The Gemara says, if new people came to comfort during the 7 days, they would make that bracha again. And the Gemara is going to stop here, but the Gemara is going to continue where we find.